Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Wise Man's Fear, page by page. This is page 264. Eight? I asked. Are you sure? She nodded earnestly. I thought I told you before. The rising hope in my chest suddenly fell into the pit of my stomach, where it lay heavy and sour. There were seven Chandrian. It was one of the few things I knew for certain about them. If there were eight people on the painted vase Nina had seen, Nina continued to chatter away, unaware of my disappointment. I dreamed about the pot for 3 nights in a row, she said. And it weren't a bad dream at all. I woke up all rested and happy every night. I knew then what God was telling me to do. She began to root around in her pockets and brought out a length of polished horn more than a hand span long and big around as my thumb. I remembered how you were so curious about the pot, but I couldn't tell you anything because I'd only seen it for a moment. She handed me the piece of horn proudly. I looked down at the cylindrical piece of horn in my hands, not sure what I was supposed to do with it. I looked up at her, confused. Nina gave an impatient sigh and took the horn back. She twisted it, removing the end like a cap. My brother made this for me, she said as she carefully drew a rolled piece of parchment from inside the horn. Don't worry, he doesn't know what it was for. She handed me the parchment. It's not very good, she said nervously. My mum lets me help her paint the pots, but this is different. It's harder doing people than flowers and designs, and it's hard getting something right that you can only see in your head. I was amazed my hands were shaking. This is what was painted on the vase? I asked. It's one side of it, she said. Something round like this. You can only see a third of it when you're looking at it from one side. So you dreamed of a different side each night? I asked. She shook her head. Just this side. 3 nights in a row. I slowly unrolled the piece of paper and instantly recognized the man she had painted. His eyes were pure black. In the background, there was a bare tree, and he was standing on a circle of blue with a few wavy lines on it. That's supposed to be water, she said, pointing. It's hard to paint water, though. And he's supposed to be standing on it. There were drifts of snow around him, too, and his hair was white, but I couldn't get the white paint to work. Mixing paints for paper is harder than glazes for pots. I nodded, not trusting myself to speak. It was Cinder, the one who had killed my parents. I could see his face in my mind without even trying, without even closing my eyes. And that's the page.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
This is, we're getting there. Actually, you know what? I'm jumping the gun. I was about to talk about the Amir on the pot, but
we're not
there yet. All right, fine.
But we should talk about the pot a bit because what's on it is...
You gotta legalize it.
Well, yeah.
No bits. No bits. I want to hear about the moth and vase.
Well, if you drop the moth and vase, then it would shatter into bits.
Let me have a crumb of bits, Jordana. What I was going to say is that it's interesting what we learn from the vase and what new information it presents. There's a figure in white whose eyes are pure black, who's standing on water, and there's drifts of snow. And like we're all going, okay, that's Cinder. But as we'll learn tomorrow, there's some more stuff that's like familiar to us, and then some new stuff as well. So Rothfuss is doing kind of a clever and economical thing by refreshing us, like, just so we all remember, here are the Chandrian that we know for sure, and here are their names and what they look like. But also, here's some new stuff to tantalize those of you who already remember all of that. And you, so you can like start thinking about what does all this new stuff mean?
Well, it occurs to me on reading this page, because it says that there's a bare tree in the background. I had done an artist piece of the vase, and I had put the bare tree in the background of someone else. I put it in the wrong place.
Uh-oh.
Fired.
Fired.
I've gotta take down that art now.
Just like a glazed pot, you're fired.
Oh.
just like how you have to like fire up your lighter when you're blazing one while you read this fantasy novel. So there's also like a cool sort of 1-2 emotional trickaroo on this page, because we think that Nina has kind of dashed Kvothe's hopes and sort of thrown us, the reader, for a loop when he says, "You remember the vase with 7 people?" She's like, "No, there were 8 people." And Kvothe goes, 8 people? Oh no, this has all been a red herring. These aren't the Chandrian. There's always 7 Chandrian. If there's one thing I know for absolutely sure about the Chandrian, there's always 7 of them. And we, the readers, are either going, "Oh no, this isn't about the Chandrian. He wasted his time." Or we're going, "Kvothe, you fool. If there's one thing you should have learned by now is that, like, you don't know everything. Maybe you shouldn't be so quick to give up on this piece of evidence."
But one way or another, seeing Cinder confirms that it's still the Chandrian.
Well, yeah, that's kind of my point. So we're set up with this. We're set up with this big letdown, and then the rug that just got pulled out from under us is gently, gracefully put back under us when she goes, "Well, I did draw a picture of what I saw in the pot," and Kvothe takes one look at it and goes, "No, it is the Chandrian." But then that raises the question: who is the 8th Chandrian?
Well, it's not a Chandrian; it's the Emir.
Hmm.
I mean, again, that's for tomorrow. But
spoiler alert.
What? Nick already spoiled it. Come on.
I wasn't paying attention to him. Not my fault.
We get a show of sort of what Nina's life is like, just a little bit here, giving us a little bit of world building, but we know that she paints pots with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
That she has some experience with glazes.
And that does kind of imply that painting the pots is women's work, right? Because she and her mom do it together. So at least in her community, it's like the implication is there that that's the work that women do together.
I did not read it that way, but I see how it could be read that way.
A very Jeremy-like answer, Jordana. Very equivocal.
Oh, also, just so she's describing the water. Or well, I guess Kvothe is describing the water for Chronicler to then write down. But it's a few wavy lines. It's blue with a few wavy lines. And at first, when I was like, "Oh, there's blue with a few wavy lines," I was thinking blue fire.
Mm. Ah,
but it's not, it's water.
Well, I mean, who's to say, right?
Hang on a sec.
Shut the hell up. Is she painting exactly what she saw, or is she painting her interpretation of what she saw? And what's more, is her interpretation correct?
A circle of blue with a few wavy lines on it. The few wavy lines, ostensibly by this description, are probably horizontal, because if you think about what that image looks like in your head, a horizontal oval with horizontal wavy lines in it looks like water.
Could be
but
ice.
But if you were to do a blue circle, like an actual circle, with like a few wavy lines that were vertical, it might look a little more like a blue flame.
Exactly. Or like stink lines. Cinder's a stinky face, a stinky stink boy.
Nina, the author of the painting, knows what she intended, and what she intended takes primacy. So it doesn't matter how the rest of you dorks interpret it, because she says, "No, it's water." That's what
I made. But she's not the author. She is the vector by which this image is arriving to her in a dream. She is simply interpreting this image from the dream.
Allow me to push my glasses up my nose in front of both of you and state that there are no authors of paintings. They are called artists.
And she's not even the original artist. It was already on a vase that she saw. She is merely an interpreter.
You know what? That's fair.
In your face, big disgrace. You are ejected from the human race.
Whoa, that escalated quickly.
Goodbye.
She only dreamt of one side 3 nights in a row, which is, I don't know if that's relevant. Did she only see that one side, or is that side returning to her over and over?
I think it seems likely to me that maybe she only saw like one face of it, or she only remembers one face of it. because famously in a dream, you often won't be able to like recreate like something that you haven't, like if you know, you only like read this part of a book, like you won't be able to recreate what you haven't seen of it necessarily. So your brain will just like put the same thing on loop.
Uh-huh. Trenchant analysis. We have a letter from Samantha, who writes on Ashes. Hello, she says. Just a quick follow-up to the mention of Ash Wednesday from page 245. What is said when ashes are marked on the forehead is, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, comes from a funeral rite. The verse is Genesis 3:19. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread until you return to the ground from which you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Several years of Catholic school education come in handy with biblical references and liturgy questions. Signed, Samantha.
Thank you very much, Samantha, because you're dealing with three people who have pretty much everything I think we all know about Christianity has been taken from 30 years of pop culture osmosis. So it's nice to have an authority on the subject.
Yes. We have a couple now, it seems.
I feel like I should know that just because the only things I've been to that are religious related have kind of been funerals, so I probably should have known the dust to dust thing. But alas, apparently I was not paying attention.
I'm surprised you didn't mention that Ash Wednesday originated to honor the victory of Ash Ketchum in front of over the Elite Four when he finally rose to the rank of Pokemon Master.
Famously, the most important saints in Catholicism are the six Pokemon that Ash used to defeat the Elite Four.
You guys are terrible.
When you fight the Elite Four, you don't get to like rest and restore your Pokemon. So like you have to fight them like one after the other with no breaks.
It's true. They fainted for your sins.
You guys should start your own religion. Call it Pokianity or something.
And we will Pokemon go to tomorrow's page.
That outro was super effective.
The wind!
I think this podcast was a critical hit.
Oh my god, stop!